RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here Newsline, read by Rahmana, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo promises to find solution to troll band. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi to visit United States on May 4 until 5th. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has promised to find solution to the ban imposed on fishermen to use centrang or locally called troll during the fishing operations. The president said in South Tangerang, Banten on Tuesday that the government will find the best solution for fishermen. He also affirmed that he has received several reports on protests lodged by fishermen over the ban on the use of trawls. The president also emphasized that the government will check the condition of the pier first and evaluate the policy adopted by the Minister of Maritime and Fisheries Affairs. President Joko Widodo also said that he has heard one or two reports about it, however, he has not yet spoken to Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said that Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi will pay a visit to Washington, D.C., United States on May 4th until 5th to strengthen the cooperation commitment discussed earlier during recent U.S. Vice President Mike Pence tour to Indonesia. Armanata told a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday that it would be Indonesian first ministerial visit to incoming U.S. administration. Minister Retno will hold a bilateral meeting with U.S. State Secretary Rex Tillerson. Armanata also said that his ministry is also arranging a meeting with U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan. Also, a call on the Vice President following an invitation from Vice President Mike Pence during his visit to Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Ministry Director for the Americas, Adan Bulawarman Tugio, said that the meeting between Indonesian delegates and Paul Ryan is aimed at establishing bilateral connection through the parliament. The National Agency for the Placement and Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers will expand the placement of Indonesian skilled workers in the formal sector to various destination countries in 2017. The move is carried out in order to reduce the number of Indonesian migrant workers working in the informal sector. Deputy of Foreign Cooperation and Promotion of the National Agency for the Placement and Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, Elia Rosalina Sutio, as you say, Sunitio, said after the opening of employment business meeting in Kuta Badung District, Bali on Tuesday, that one of the attempts to strengthen the scope of overseas labor market is through the cooperation of various placement schemes of migrant workers. Elia also stated that improving the function of labor market intelligence as Indonesian migrant workers monitoring system in representative offices of Indonesian government has become one of the agency's performance priorities in 2017. However, Elia figured out that an obstacle in the demand of companies and workers, especially in terms of competence and language, has become a problem to increase the number of skilled formal migrant workers. Indonesian Agriculture Minister has expressed optimism that it is able to create some 80,000 hectares of new rice fields this year, as targeted by the government as part of the country's food security program. Director General of the Ministry of Agriculture Infrastructure, Pendin Dadi Permana, said that the new rice fields would be created outside Java. During a hearing with members of the House Representatives DPR Commission for Overseeing Agricultural Policy in Jakarta on Tuesday, Pendin said that many plots of land have not been developed by the owners. The ministry will help them convert the land into rice fields. It will prioritize the land owners who are ready to cultivate their land. The Ministry of Tourism is going to renovate homestays in villages adjacent to North Sumatra's Lake Toba, Banten's Tanjung Lesung, and East Java's Bromo Semeru Tengger to attract more tourists to the scenic sites. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said in a statement on Tuesday that with improved condition of homestays, local residents will gain better profit and attract more tourists to these destinations. The goal is also supported by the Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises and Bank Tabungan Negara BTN, which is the Indonesia's largest mortgage lender. In each place, 100 homes with the biggest damages will be chosen for renovation. The household will receive up to 15 million rupiah or around $1,125 through a funding program by BTN. Indonesian Public Works Ministry Director for Urban Planning, Dedi Permadi, said in a sense statement that BTN will provide 50 million rupiah to the houses in the worst condition. The goal is to refund the homestay in these three destinations. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Financial Service Authority OJK recorded credit growth of 9.2% in March 2017, increasing from 8.7% in the same month of last year. OJK Chairman Mulia Mandada said at the Finance Minister's Office in Jakarta on Tuesday that the credit has started to grow since early 2017. He also explained that the credit growth resulted from various business activities and banking intermediations. The condition indicates that the national financial system is in a stable state. He also pointed out that the bank liquidity has been improving after the tax amnesty program ended in March. He added that the authority is still optimistic that the credit growth with a target ranging from 9% to 12% can be obtained. OJK also recorded those non-performing loans. NPL in March 2017 decreased to 3.04% from 3.16% in February. Bank Indonesian BI Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that the Indonesian rupiah strengthened 1.09 points against US dollar in the first quarter of 2017. He stated at a press conference to announce the outcome of the Financial System Stability Committee KSSK meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday, that the rupiah moved in a stable way and tended to strengthen. The rupiah appreciated 1.09% in the first quarter of 2017 year to date, from 13,473 rupiah to 13,326 rupiah. The rupiah's appreciation was fueled by the market players' positive perception, improving prospect of global economy, optimism about domestic economy, and the inflow of foreign capital. He also remarked that pressure on the rupiah exchange rate remained under control due to the declining global risk as well as the limited impact of the Fed fund rate hike in March 2017 and improving global commodity prices since fourth quarter of 2016. On the domestic side, the rupiah's appreciation was fueled by positive sentiment towards and optimism about the prospect of the country's economic stability, including foreign exchange reserve hike. The last item, fake news of hoax, often arises prior to the regional head election as the false news is deliberately spread to reduce the electability of certain candidates. Learning from the experience, Minister of Communication and Informatics, Ruyantara, calls on people to combat fake news, especially towards the upcoming regional head election in June 20, 2018, so people are not harmed by the spread of fake news. Minister Ruyantara also stated that his ministry continues to prevent people from fake news by educating them to check and recheck any information which contains negative elements. He added that the confirmation of the information is considered as one of the efforts to avoid the influence of fake news.
Pilkada itu kan rame, ada hoax, ada berita macam-macam.
Regional head elections were colored also by fake news or hoax. However, the situation is getting better. For example, in the second round of Jakarta gubernatorial election, the quantity of hoax was reduced. However, the quality of hoax was higher. We have to continue to educate people.
Minister Ruyantara further said that Indonesia is not the only country which experiences fake news. Developed countries such as United States, China, Russia, and other countries are also fighting against fake news. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Listener, a commentary today entitled ASEAN Summit in Manila and People's Prosperity. For the third time, the leaders of ASEAN countries will hold a high-level meeting to discuss various matters. As reported by Paris media, the Philippine government will deploy security forces to oversee the meeting, to be attended by 10 heads of governments of ASEAN member countries. An extra tight security is reasonably upheld to face and respect the acts of violence in the country. Today, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to fly to Manila, the Philippines. Before attending the conference, President Joko Widodo will make a state visit. In accordance with the mission of his administration, President Joko Widodo will emphasize that ASEAN has to pay attention to the program that is people-oriented. ASEAN established on the initiative of Indonesia has been carrying out a lot of cooperation in various fields.
ASEAN leaders, through a joint agreement, always affirm that they are committed to realizing sun efforts for the common interest. In every high-level meeting, almost all government leaders emphasize the importance of future-oriented ASEAN. The question is whether for 30 years the people of ASEAN member countries have benefited from the existence of this regional organization. This has to be studied further. One example of cooperation that needs to be improved is the maritime field, especially concerning with the life of the fishermen. More recently, Indonesia has kept trying to solve the problem of illegal fishing, whose perpetrators almost come from ASEAN countries. In relation to maritime affairs and territorial boundaries, some ASEAN member countries are still struggling to resolve the conflict in South China Sea region. The last effort discussed intensively in the previous summit was to realize a code of conduct in the region that has long been the source of territorial dispute. This problem has been widespread because it involves two other major countries, namely China and United States. In addition, Indonesia must cope with the problem of drug abuse, in which the smuggling activities had been committed through neighboring countries that are members of ASEAN. In the field of regional economy, ASEAN has stipulated the beginning of ASEAN Economic Zone, whose implementation should emphasize the balance among member countries. This issue is ultimately closely related with the prosperity of the people. Therefore, whether the outcome achieved in the ASEAN summit is that the ultimate target is certainly common benefits for the welfare of the people of each member country. It's very relevant if the summit in Manila will be held on Saturday. President Joko Widodo will emphasize the importance of joint commitment. Thus, every agreement and cooperation program must be on people interest or people oriented. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listeners, welcome to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on April 28, 1949. Khairil Anwar passed away. Khairil Anwar was a young, reputable poet in Indonesia. Together with Asrul Sani and Rifai Apin, Khairil Anwar was awarded by linguist H.B. Yasin as the pioneer of 1945 generation and Indonesian modern poetry. He was still related to Sutan Syahrir, Indonesian first prime minister. His name gained recognition in literature world after his writing published in Nisan magazine in 1942. When he was 20 years old, during his life, Khairil Anwar had written around 94 works, including 70 poems, with most of them were not published even after his death. The last poem by Khairil Anwar, entitled Cemara Menderai Sampai Jauh, or The Fear Sound of to Distance, written in 1949. While his most celebrated works were Aku, or I, and Karawang Bekasi, almost all of his poems refer to death. All original or modified works of Khairil Anwar, along with Asrul Sani and Rifai Apim, was compiled in three books: Deru Campur Debu, 1949, Kerikil Tajam Yang Terampas, dan Yang Putus, 1949, and Tiga Menguak Takdir, 1950. Khairul Anwar passed away in Jakarta, April 28, 1949, when he was 26 years old. We move into the next events, which occur on April 28, 1965. America attacks Dominica. On April 28, 1965, the American government launched a military offensive against the Dominican Republic on the grounds of protecting Americans residing in the country. Earlier, military forces in the Dominican Republic carried out a coup against leftist President Juan Bosch, resulting in a civil war between leftist group supporters of Juan Bosch and the American-backed right. Based on that matter, America carried out military strikes to Dominican Republic. Initially, America only sent 1,500 troops, but in a short time increased to 40,000 soldiers. Finally, with the intervention of the Organization of American States, the war ceased and a new government was established. So America was forced to leave the territory of Dominican Republic. We end today in history with an event which occurred on April 28, 2001. Dennis Tito became the first tourist who made to the International Space Station. Dennis Anthony Tito was an engineer, multi-billionaire, and the first person from the United States to spend holiday at the International Space Station by taking Russian Soyuz spacecraft. His trip into the space was on April 28 until May 6, 2001. To afford such trip, Tito had to pay $20 million. Tito himself actually had bachelor degree on astronautics and aeronautics from New York University in 1962 and master degree on engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, Hartford, Connecticut in 1964. Since returning from space, Dennis gave testimony before several science and technology institutions and aerospace on July 24, 2003. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Focus. We'll talk about Indonesia holds INACRAF 2017. Listeners, INACRAF 2017, the biggest handicraft exhibition in Indonesia, is held again at Jakarta Convention Center. The event is taking place from 26th to 30th April 2017 and followed by 1,392 participants from inside and outside the country. In this year, INACRAF takes an icon of Yogyakarta Special Region with the concept of Magnificent of Yogyakarta and the theme from Smart Village, the Global Market. President Joko Widodo, when opening INACRAF 2017 in Jakarta on Wednesday, said the craft industry, Indonesia's creative industry, have grown rapidly, amazingly, and this is quite encouraging. President Joko Widodo believes Indonesia's future will be in the handicraft industry. President Joko Widodo also hopes that the handicraft businessmen or creative industries to pick up the ball to the buyers. Moreover, interaction with buyers is much easier nowadays with the internet, using e-commerce, online store, and website. If the web is well managed and interesting, it will be easier for buyers in the entire world. The president also admitted that his side has requested that every embassy, consulate general of the Republic of Indonesia and the Indonesian Threat Promotion Center as a unit of the Ministry of Trade in various countries to promote Indonesia's handicraft products. President Joko Widodo also believes Innacraft is the best place to hold many kinds of promotions. Meanwhile, Trade Minister Enggar Tias Titolukita said, although the world handicraft market experienced negative growth of 12% this year, but Indonesia's handicraft exports increased 1.35% from the total of the world market valued at $46.8 billion. According to the minister, Indonesia's market share is only 1.41%, so it should be concerned and spurred Indonesia to increase its low market share. The Ministry of Trade, according to Enggar Tias Sisto, has also facilitated collaboration between designers and business actors, including by encouraging trade attaché at various embassies and consulate general of the Republic of Indonesia as well as Indonesian Trade Promotion Center in various countries to promote Indonesian handicraft products. Data from the Association of Exporters and Manufacturers of Indonesian Handicraft as the exhibition organizer showed that participants from Innacraft 2017 came from individuals, tourism offices, BUMN's nurture, and from abroad such as Myanmar, Japan, Pakistan, Poland, and India. This year, Innacraft targeting to increase retail business by 10% to 142 billion rupiah and trade contacts up to $12 million with buyer ups to 200,000. The buyers come from Egypt, Japan, Singapore, Brazil, Brunei Darussalam. A number of products such as batik fashion accessories and jewelry and handicraft products are also offered. Listeners, that was the focus.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo on Tuesday opened the annual International Handicraft Trade Fair, or Innacraft, at Jakarta Convention Center, GCC, in South Jakarta. The handicraft exhibit will run through April 30 and impart 1,392 participants. President Joko Widodo's plan to visit Hong Kong is aimed at attracting investment. This was stated by Chief of Investment Coordinating Board BKP and Thomas Trikasilembon on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the start of construction simple flats, or Rusunami, for people of the low-income group in South Tangerang Banten province on Thursday. The government will continue to evaluate regulations considered to have hampered investment. This was stated by Chief of Capital Investment Coordinating Board BKP and Thomas Lembon on Thursday. Bank Indonesia BI predicted that Indonesian inflation would not be too high this month with falling prices of foodstuffs amid harvest time. The inflation in April is expected not too high as a result of a harvest time. State Secretary of Indonesian Papi Senawangi held the 9th Congress at Pewayangan Keutamaan Building at Tamami Indonesia East Jakarta on Wednesday. The Congress with the team enhancing the role of the Papi Indonesian and character building was attended and opened directly by Minister of Education and Culture Professor Muhajir Effendi. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries,
beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Doa Lopi tradition, so stay tuned. Listener, Sangyang is a village which is located about 62 kilometers northeast of Rabah, the capital of Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. The village consists of coastal area in the land of Sumbawa called Sangyang Mainland and Sangyang Island, which is located on the sea. The resident settlement is located in the mainland, while the slope of Mount Sangyang Api, which included an active volcano, is used by the residents as their farmland to cultivate peanuts, sesame, chili, and breeding of goats and buffalo. From 4,000 Sangyang people, 80% of them rely on their lives as sailors. Thank you.
listener, their main livelihood as sailor. The daily life of Sangyang people actually cannot be separated with the ritual or tradition associated with the sea. One of them is Doa Lopi tradition. The Doa Lopi, in the local language of Mbojo, the ethnic people who inhabits Dompu and Bima, means a prayer for the salvation of the Lopi or ship. As the meaning, Doa Lopi is intended to ask for salvation on a ship that will travel long distance across the ocean. In addition to salvation, the prayer is also intended for the owner of the ship devoted sustenance. The local people believes by performing Doa Lopi, the ship and crews will save during their sailing. Doa Lopi tradition has existed since the ancestors of Bima community inhabited Sangyang and passed down from generation to generation. The tradition must be done when a new ship go to the sea for the first time. In addition to new ship, Doa Lopi is also done for rejuvenation of the old ship. The rejuvenation can be done to make new paint, new machine, or when the owner replaces the screen. The ships in Sangyang are small and large-sized pinisi or lambo ships. Lamba or lambo is a more modern type of pinisi ship because it has been equipped by machine. The original pinisi is called palari, and its size is smaller than the lamba. The ships are used to catch fish or transport the corpse from Mount Sangyang Api. The ships are also used to transport interregional products on the island of Sumbawa or outside the region. The procession of Doa Lopi lasted not so long. This tradition is led by religious leaders, and residents who attend the ritual usually read Quran and remembrance of few minutes, then prayer. Once completed, the owner of the ship assisted his family members to share food to eat together. After the event ended, the ship owner raises the anchor. Next, the boat circled around Sangyang waters for about 10 minutes. For newly launched vessel, the owner usually cuts chicken or goat to cook. Then all the people are gathered. Then the ritual continues to the procession of reading Barzanji, or prayers, praises, and narration of Prophet Muhammad, which is usually dedicated with rhythm or tone. The procession of Doa Lopi is ended by eating together. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic Doa Lopi from Sumbawa. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Indonesian has many ways to appreciate its national heroes' efforts to fight for the independence, whether through art and creation. Indonesia appreciates Chairil Anwar and the National Poetry Day. Stay tuned. Listener, 58 years ago, exactly on April 28, 1949, Indonesian poet Chairil Anwar died. To memorize the poet who was well known for his poetry entitled Aku, Indonesia set his death day as the National Poetry Day on April 28. This poet died young at the age of 27 years old because of illness. To commemorate the National Day, writing poetry is made as a competition in several provinces in Indonesia. Take for example, what Faculty of Language and Art of Yogyakarta University did. The goal of this event is to raise back the spirit of young generation to be a poet like Chairil Anwar. Besides the competition, social media users also present many expressions to say Happy National Poetry Day. In addition, the netizens also create their own poetry and use some of Chairil Anwar's poetry. Most of Indonesian people remember Chairil Anwar as a young man with unclear personality and has not many choices. Hasan Asfahani, the biography writer of Chairil Anwar, said that Chairil Anwar, how could he be? His father, Tulus bin Haji Manan, was a regent in Medan. He had a duty as inspector in connecting Dutch Hindis with local ruler. With that comfortable life, Chairil could have good education, including going abroad. But Chairil did not take that opportunity. The poet preferred to follow his heart. Fate says differently. When Japan entered Indonesia in 1942, the comfort was gone. Chairil, who was in Jakarta at that time, had a financial problem. Because communication between Sumatra and Java was cut off due to the money from his father. This situation made the poet run his life as a bohemian. But he still had the spirit to create his spiritual poetry. In his young age, Chairil was written 97 works, including 70 poetries. Chairil translated his works into English, German, Russian, and Spanish. Chairil Anwar is the man who is worth to remember. Indonesian literature critics from Amsterdam, Aitu, said that Chairil has realized that he will die young, just like the theme giving up in his poetry entitled Yang Terempas dan Yang Putus. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition of Music Corner presents you an Indonesian popular dangdut singer, Evi Tamala. Listener, good morning and good evening is a simple common greeting that people usually express to others in everyday life regardless of one's status in the society. but these words can give a deeper meaning when spoken to someone really special to us. Just as they describe in a song popularized by Evita Mala, a well-known dangdut singer, entitled Selamat Malam. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song entitled Selamat Malam by Evita Mala. Have been listening. Listener, you've just listened to a song from Indonesian popular dangdut singer Evita Mala entitled Selamat Malam or Good Evening. The beautiful song managed to bring Evita Mala's name to the peak of her career in the Indonesian dangdut industry. The Tasikmalaya-born singer is successfully aligned her name with this country's senior dangdut singers after getting through a long and winding road since 1987 when she first started to sing on stage in her hometown. After the first two albums that she recorded were less successful in the market, Evie Tamala finally reached her fame through the third album that she released with a track single entitled Dr. Cinta or Love Doctor. Listener, let's listen to another song by Evie Tamala entitled Dr. Cinta. Stay tuned.
Sakit hati, kau penerang cinta yang hampir mati. Adik mama cinta yang kini ku rasa adalah hilang asyik menajak engkau datang. Kau penghapus derita, penghapus segala buta. Kau penerang cinta yang hampir mati. Oh, kau penyuluh hidupku. Engkau datang, kau penghapus derita,
aku segila buta. Kau penerang cinta yang hampir mati. Kau penyuluh hidupku.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, The Voice of Indonesia, in the segment of Music Corner. And we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Evi Tamala. Since the release of the successful song entitled Love Doctor that managed to bring her name to the top of fame in the Indonesian music scene, Evi Tamala is known to have released a lot of romantic and melancholic love songs favored by dangdut lovers in this country. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Evi Tamala entitled Dimanapun Ada Bayanganmu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Dimanapun ada bayanganmu, dimanapun ada bayanganmu, di semua waktu ku ada bayangmu, kekasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.